Morning, everyone. Many thanks to Pauline and Joe for our readings. And we're just going to spend a few minutes now looking at what Paul had to say about describing the Christian journey as a race, and seeing what we can learn from what he's got to say to help us run our own Christian race, really. So in the first reading, Paul outlines what characteristics are needed to win the prize at the end of the race, and he lists single-mindedness, determination, discipline. He talks about running with purpose in every step. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. He talks about being dedicated, single-minded, forgetting what is past, and concentrating only on the goal and the prize. Tunnel vision for his goal. Now, this must be every athletics coach's dream athlete, mustn't it? Boy, you could hear them say, with that attitude, Paul, if you do all that, if you train hard, if you sleep properly, eat properly, don't drink too much, don't deviate from being totally focused on following your training regime, you'll be unbeatable. All you need to do is just follow those rules. And then, of course, comes the switch. Paul knew all about following rules in his time as a Pharisee, trying to do things for God and getting it, well, spectacularly wrong, and actually running off down completely the wrong racetrack as a result, persecuting Christians and trying to destroy the early church. And Paul says that he considers all of his previous life as garbage now, as we heard, that now that he's discovered Christ and now has a righteousness or a rightness with God, which does not come from the law, as he tried to make it do before, that is, trying to do my best for God, but instead he's now allowing God, by his indwelling spirit in him and in us, to work his will in us and through us to achieve his purposes for us, as John mentioned in the feedback. Now, of course, we do need to be determined and disciplined in our Christian race if we're not going to be knocked off course. But then Paul adds in something not really found in conventional coaching manuals, something that he regards as the most important thing in running his Christian race, something for which he says he's given up all other things and says that he wants to know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection. Well, this begs one or two questions, doesn't it? I mean, the first of which is, exactly how can we know Christ? Well, I guess you need to ask how you can know anybody, for that matter. We can know about somebody, intellectually perhaps, and that is, we can be confident that they exist, but we may not have any sort of relationship with them. Take, for example, Her Majesty the Queen, now, of course, in her Platinum Jubilee year. Now, I know quite a bit about her. She knows nothing about me. We went on holiday a couple of weeks back. I didn't tell her. She didn't know we'd gone anywhere. She doesn't even know I exist, frankly. We're not close, although I admire her greatly. And it's very easy, of course, to know Christ like that. Or another way you can know someone is to have a more intimate and a two-way relationship where you do talk. You get to know each other and discuss things. That's the sort of relationship I have with my wife, where we discuss things. Well, I say discuss. It can be a series of extended briefings on occasion, but you get the picture. There is at least some form of two-way communication going on there. And it's not just an intellectual awareness. My heart is involved and it is intimate. And this, I think, is the kind of relationship that Paul is talking about when he says, I want to know Christ. He's saying, look, I know about Christ intellectually and doctrinally. I know about him because I met with him in a vision on the road to Damascus and discovered who he was. But now, says Paul, I want to press on and win the prize of knowing him more deeply, and he regards that as the key to running his Christian race. Well, Jesus defined the price of eternal life in John 17, verse 3, when he was praying to his Father, and he said, this is life eternal, that they may know you and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life, says Jesus, is knowing God and knowing Christ. So I guess the goal for us must surely be to know Christ better as well. And that can only mean spending more time not only talking to God in prayer, but also listening as we ask him to reveal more of who Jesus is to us so that we may know him better. Whether in prayer, whether through the pages of his word, whether through his wonderful creation, we can ask him to reveal more of his love, more of his power to change lives, more of his beauty, more of his sacrifice for us, and get to know him better. He already knows all there is to know about us. And as we were just thinking a little while ago, when by the grace of God we do cross our finish line one day and we will claim our prize, we do so not wrapped in the flag of our nation, as we saw the wonderful athletes earlier winning their prizes, wrapped in their nation's flags. And we won't be wrapped in our own achievements, but we will be wrapped in his righteousness. And we will be found in him. And we will gain that prize that is rightfully his and yet so wonderfully ours. So that's then, but what about now? How does knowing Christ and knowing the power of his resurrection, what does that mean for our everyday lives? And how does it help us in the here and now? Well, elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, speaking about the resurrection of Christ, Paul says there that the last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has now put everything under Jesus' feet by his resurrection. And this power of his resurrection that Paul wants to get to know is the fact that God has put all enemies, and then finally death, under the feet of Jesus. And therefore, to say as Paul does that I want to know the power of his resurrection is to say that I want to experience that power when everything that threatens to be over my head today might be under his feet. And knowing that I can trust him in whatever my problem is, because all my enemies are under his feet. And the things that threaten to overwhelm me and swamp me in this life won't drown me, because they are under his feet. And our security and our strength come from the resurrection life of Jesus. And it is him that we trust, and it's him that we look to for our strength on a daily basis. So we need to know the power of his resurrection in our lives, not necessarily to get us out of life's problems, although that would be nice, wouldn't it? And we think about, again, the poor people in Ukraine at this stage. But just so that we can trust him and experience his strength and victory to help us get through the storms of this life. And again, that doesn't mean that the storms will always be stilled. Two occasions, Jesus was involved with storms with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. On one occasion, the storm was stilled. But on the other, whilst the storm continued around him, he said, in effect, "Come on, get out of the boat. Trust me and come to me. Don't look away. Keep your eyes on me, and I will support you in this storm." Finally, and I finish with this, Paul says in our reading, "Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And as we talked about earlier, if the rest of us are not perhaps as single-minded as Paul in our goal of straining onwards to know Christ better, or perhaps if we let our gaze wander elsewhere on occasion and lose the direct support, well, what can we do about it? We're not going to feedback from this, but just having heard what Paul says about getting to know Christ and his power in our lives, just spend a minute or two reflecting on how we might go about knowing Christ better and what might now be distracting our gaze and your own gaze. Maybe talk to the person next to you if you would like to, but as I say, we won't be feeding anything back. Just for a couple of minutes, and then Miller will lead us in our prayers. Amen.